So the last time we began Hilchos Bishalakim, we're looking at the foundational questions that relate to which foods are susceptible. Again, Bishalakim breaks along the lines of which foods are susceptible to Bishalakim and what sort of mice a Bishal can create Bishalakim. In terms of which foods are susceptible, so last week we saw the foundational issues, the Sifim Aleph and Tezvav, ultimately Lahalacha, two conditions. That a food has to be nechal, eino nechal kmo shu chai, that before the bishul it wasn't even edible at all, or perhaps only edible at the etrach. And once the nachri is done, not only is it edible, but it's olal shulchan malachim. Sorry about that. So now we're ready, we move on to the next piece of Gemara. And Lamed Ches Amud Aleph begins to talk about what happens when you don't have a single ingredient food. Last week was all single ingredient foods. With Narei, Sifim, Beis, and Gimel, turn to the discussion of multi-ingredient foods. And the Gemara, the next Gemara, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, talks about this Kasa Daharsana, some sort of fish sauce stir fry. Sounds like some sort of kugel. It's not actually fish, it's fish sauce, fish juice. The brine of the fish mixed together with flour, all fried, sounds tasty and not very healthy. Although maybe fish oil is better than chicken schmaltz. So as the Gemara says, the Gemara has a series of comments. Hilchos Kasa Daharsana. Some have to do with Eruv Tavshil, and that's why the sugya appears in Beitza. And some have to do with Bishalakim, and that's why the sugya appears here. And the Gemara says. The Gemara says specifically that I have this fish. The fish ingredient is not susceptible to Bishalakim, perhaps because it was already edible before you fried it based on the salting. But if you mix it with flour, so the Gemara says, is it us or is it mutter? That hinges on which is the ikker. Would it have been, were it to have been the case that the fish ingredient is the main ingredient, were we to say the harsana ikr, then it would be mutter, because the harsana, the fish is not the susceptible to shalakum. But since we assume the kimcha ikr, then this particular dish, the flour is the main ingredient, and flour is bishalakum susceptible, because you don't eat raw wheat, you don't eat raw barley, and if the, so it's not nechal kamo shuchai, apparently this curse of the harsana, the final dish, is olal shulcha malachim. To Mela, it is a problem. Now, there is a discussion in Rishonim, Tosfos, the long Tosfos, Nambam Lamed Zayin with Beis, and the Ramban on Lamed Hayim with Beis, present the Machlokas about the history of Pasachim and Bishalachim. Which one came first? That's what Rishonim try to tease out. Was Bishalakim the first Gezeira and Pas came subsequently? Was Pasachim the first Gezeira and Bishalakim came subsequently? The Ritva, Lama Zayin Beis, is a very beautiful Arichas where he works this out very thoroughly, the different approaches. And that Machlokas early we showed in Avon Tam, the Ramban, and so forth, so that's the background to the discussion the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe have in trying to think about how the Kasa Daharsana situation applies in other cases, because the issue you saw that they raise is, well, when something has flour, you have a flour-based food, so why are we even assuming that, the Gemara is assuming that's a Bishalakim problem, not a Pasachim problem. So the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe begin to talk about that. Well, when are flour-based foods Bishalakim, or flour-based foods Pasachim? It's rooted in part in the question of which Isser came first. Whichever Isser came first was already, the category was defined, and the later Isser was built around the perimeter of that. Halacha lemasa, as you work your way through the Darkei Moshe, and then the Beis Yosef, B'Shem HaAgur, Agur is one of the late Chachmei Ashkenaz, what they all are working with is the assumption that, and that comes up both in Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Beis, that the Pasachim, a few things. Number one, that Pasachim and Bishalakim are mutually exclusive. Now, any food will either be Pas or not Pas. And bishul akum only applies to foods which are not lechem, not pasakum. You're not going to be covered by both. It's either or. Number one, everyone agrees to that. Number two, everyone agrees that everyone seems to work on the assumption that the shame lech, that this distinction, the dividing line between pasakum and bishul akum, is not a local issue that only is relevant to machale akum. That divine line instead is really the global boundary of the chalo shem lechem b'chalo tarah kula. There's a halachic category of lechem lava of daraisa. It's relevant to afreshes challah. It's relevant to birkas hamazon. It's relevant to the mitzvah achilas matzah. And all those cases, as the Mishnahis point out, begin maseches challah. All those three areas of halacha are governed by the same shem lechem. You can only be yotze the mitzvah of matzah if what you're eating is lechem. If I have oatmeal, hot oatmeal that I manage to keep Pesachtik. Somehow it's not chametzik, but it's not lechem. So if I eat a bowl of that, even that way more than a kazayis, that's not matzah. And if I make a cauldron of oatmeal, even though way more than a shir challah, way more than 43 and a fifth beitzim, there's still no mitzvah farshas challah because it may be made from one of the five grains, but it's not lechem. And the same is true for brachas as well. Even a level of daraisa, even if you're a saveya and you're a kaveya suda, and there ought to be birkas hamazon daraisa, but not for oatmeal, because oatmeal is, again, it's made from what may be one of the five grains. You have farina made from wheat, but it's not, doesn't have a shame lechem. So that's going to be relevant here as well. And the truth is that's a Gemara, the previous line of Gemara. Because when the Gemara had been talking about in the sugya, the discussion of surum pumpadisa, and what are the criteria that drive bishul akum, so the Gemara had said, well, the nafkamina between nechachai and ol shulchan lachem, well, the nafkamina the Gemara gave was daisa. That's farina, oatmeal, hot cereal. So the Gemara is assuming that that's in the bishul category, it's not in the pas category. Whether or not it happens to be susceptible to bishul akum, so that depends on nechachim ol shulchai, ol shulchan lachem, but it's in the world of bishul akum, not in the world of pas akum. Even though it's made from chameshes minei dagan, but it has to be lechem. And the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe assume more broadly that all the issues that go in, all the criteria that go into defining is a particular food lechem or not, with respect to brachas, including Birkas HaMazon and Kviya Suda and so forth, and Hafarshas Challah, and Matzah, again, it's rooted in, largely in Tosfos, in not surprisingly, Maseches Brachos and Maseches Psachim, many of which work off of Sugyas there and Mishnayos and Maseches Challah. So those issues all port into pas versus bishul as well. And that's why you see Rishonim discussing noodles. What bracha do you make on noodles? Do you wash on noodles if you had a, if you weren't kaveh suda, do you wash on noodles or not? That's irrelevant also to, do the noodles present a pas akum problem or a bishul akum problem? Okay. And keep in mind, again, the reason why does it matter whether something is pasakum susceptible or bishalakum susceptible? Both of those are asum and drabanan. Isser tid pasakum, isser tid bishalakum. So there are, and we're going to see more of this as we progress through Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, there are a number of nafkaminas. One or two are very easy to identify. One is for Ashkenazim, the other one is for Sfardim. Ashkenazim assume gets quoted here repeatedly, but it's obviously the primary address for this is in Kuf Yud Beis. Ashkenazim accept a major, major kula in Pasakim, which Sfardim do not. It's rooted in really Machlokas Gaonim, and it maybe have its roots in a couple of lines of Gemara. The question is, does Pasakim apply Isra's Mishum Chasnas, or does it apply only when you have homemade bread? A nachir made bread in his private kitchen, a private citizen makes bread, so there's a lot of, it's a personal gift that is given to you, but perhaps it does not apply when it's bakery bread, which is commercial and is less personal, and the baker is baking bread for 1,000 people. It's not doing it particularly for you. It's far less personal, and therefore there's far less chashash chasnas. So Ashkenazim assume that pas palter, the baker's bread, is not covered by the issur of pas akum, only pas balabais. Whereas Sfardim assume that pas palter is covered by the issur of pas akum. So that comes up plenty. It's commercially baked bread sold in the supermarket. not baked by a Jewish bakery, but there's a hashgacha to ensure that the ingredients are kosher, that's going to be paspalter. And Tiffin's cookies are going to be paspalter. So if you hold that, if, according to Ashkenazim, fine. According to Sephardim, that's a problem of that's a problem of pas akum. So that is that's a different chiluk for Ashkenazim. Again, for Sephardim, whether it's pas or bishul, there's no heter of palter. But for Ashkenazim, there's a heter of palter by pas, but not by bishul. So that's what a nafkamina for between pas and bishul for Ashkenazim is a question of palter, something which was commercially produced and not produced in a private kitchen. The nafkamina for Sephardim, and that's something we're going to get to Mirtz Hashem beginning of next semester, is there's a major machl, there's a kula that the Gemara has. For everyone agrees this kula applies by pas. Machlok Ashkenazim Sephardim, does it extend to bishul? And that is, the Gemara says that for bread, Jewish participation to make it mutter can either be participation in the baking itself with the food, with the dough. You put it in, the Jew put it in the fire, put it in the oven or something of that sort. Or it suffices by pas if the Jew lit the fire. The Jew prepares the oven. The Jew turns the oven on, and then the Nachri comes by and bakes the bread. The Gemara says that's sufficient Jewish participation to make a mutter. We'll get to it more, Richem, later on. But here's the rub. According to Ashkenazim, that heter of the stoking the fire, preparing the fire, applies to both pas and bishul. For Sephardim, it doesn't. For Sephardim, it's only relevant to pas, but not to bishul. So there's an afkamina for Sephardim. If something is pas, so then it suffices, you can be matur it simply by turning on the fire, whereas if something falls into the bishul category, then you're going to actually need to be involved in the food itself. So again, so nafkamina, whether something falls in the pas category or bishul category, again, it ultimately relates back to an extent to the question of the history, which there came first. Lamasa, it's driven by the overall universal boundaries of the chalo shem lechem, and nafkamina for Ashkenazim between pas and bishul is palter. If it's pas, then there's a heter palter. If it's bishul, then there is not. Nafkamina for Sephardim, if it's pas, then there's a heter of turning on the fire, whereas if it's bishul, it is not. So those are some of the issues that come up in Sif Beis. Let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch, and let's take some questions. Shulchan Aruch raises the first issue. Both these issues come up in the Beis Yosef. The first issue is comes up in the Shulchan Aruch. Irev davar hanechel kmo shu chai. Im davar she'er nechel kmo shu chai, ubishlam ha'akum. So that you have a multi-ingredient food. So im ha'ikar, and you mix them together. So then you have to figure out, is the ikar mi davar she'esh po bishlam ha'akum aser, v'im lav mutter. So that's the din of the Gemara of the Kasa Daharsana. So the poskim, so Dark Emotion talks about candy, talks about some sort of maybe licorice, the mine masika, or it's a blend of honey and flour. Remember that cane sugar at that point was not widely available, so the easiest sweetener to come by until not so long ago was honey. So that's what they talk about. You have a mix of honey is not bishlakim susceptible because you eat it raw. The flour is bishlakim susceptible? So that's a dark emosha tandling. How much flour is it? Ludevik bialma. But dark emosha here is already pilpulin over the shaila of what bracha you make on Twizzlers. So that's already rooted in that dark emosha. Nafkamina for brachas and nafkamina for bishlakim. I believe it's a prichadash who talks about beverages, coffee, chocolate. I think he talks about the Chikalida. It takes a couple of moments to realize the way he's talking about chocolate. Remember, chocolate was originally a drink before it was a solid food. It was originally only served as a beverage. So Shaila is, no one eats raw cacao. No one eats raw, almost no one eats raw coffee beans.
Who's almost?
Sorry? Sometimes desperate yeshiva bachrim have been known to, I don't recommend it, for a wide variety of reasons. Generally speaking, I think that's not considered nechach. Mamash. So you have coffee. So the coffee is a blend, literally, of water and coffee beans. The coffee beans have to have been roasted in the factory. The water did not. You heated the water because you enjoy hot coffee, but water is drinkable cold as well. So now you have the two ingredients. So the question is, this is a Bishul Acham problem or not? So we assume that beverages are, the water is automatically the ikar, and that's why coffee does not present a Bishul Acham problem. It happens to be, as an aside, this is more a Simon Kuf Yudal issue, that plain, unflavored coffee also does not present an issue of non-kosher ingredients in modern food technology. So you're safe typically on both fronts, assuming that you're comfortable, assuming that the equipment that this coffee is being served from is only used for non-flavored coffee. So neither is there a problem of non-kosher ingredients, nor is there a problem of Bishul Acham, again, because the water is the ikar. And Tosis points out, egg challah, egg noodles, there may be a significant amount of egg in it, and there, particularly with the egg challah, now flour and egg may both present a Bishul Acham problem, except that since you see the kemach as the ikar, it's pas rather than bishul. So palter, for instance, for Ashkenazim, would be matur not only water challah, but even egg challah. So those are the issues that are laid out here in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis. In Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch begins to talk about the question of the panada, which we'll get to, the empanada, which we'll get to in a moment, and that array raises some new issues as well as bringing back some of the issues that the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe discuss in Sif Beis, as well as giving us much greater clarity. This discussion we've shown about panada, we'll get to in a moment, gives us much greater clarity about what are the boundaries. How far do you, the Gemara gave us this idea of following the ikar, how broadly does that apply? But you had a question.
Yeah, come on. If the commercial, if the issue is costless and we're okay with commercially produced items, why wouldn't the coffee beans that are made in...
Yes, that's a good point. So the notion that Palter is a heter for pas is widely accepted. Again, it's machlok, sashnaz, and svarim, and kufi, beis. But the notion of we do not assume that there's a heter of palter by bishul akram. There is a deya yechida. How come is a good question. It may go back to what we mentioned last time, that the Tosfos of the Rosh has this, and I think the Rajba has a line like this in Taras HaBayis, or also that there are a number of different, the Gemara tells us on Lamed Vav Beis, a number of the Machalei Akum that appear in the Mishnah, Lamed Hey, have to do with Chasnas. So the Gemara points out a number of them have to do with Chasnas. But Rishonim point out, Pas Akum is a Chasnas issue, we assume Bishul Akum is a Chasnas issue, and Yein Akum is a Chasnas issue, but they're not all created equal, because, and they don't all have the same set of kulos. So there are more coolest by some than by others. We showed a point that in large part because some of them present more of a clear and present danger of chasnas than others. Notice the road from Yein Akum to chasnas is much shorter than the road from Pas or Bishul to Akum for obvious reasons. That's why in Shalom said you'll find there are gradations in how great the chashash chasnas is from any given category of food to chasnas, and that's why there'll be more or fewer kulos. So that's one of the reasons why Rishonim say that by pas you'll have a heter palter, by bishul you will not have a heter palter. It may, again, in part have to do, it may, in part have to do with maybe there's more of a chashash, an enjoyable, a significant meal, olal shulchan lachem, that sounds like more of a chasnas issue than a slice of bread. Bread is critical, you need it, or at least in a earlier era when other foods were more expensive, people lived largely on bread. Bread was a critical food item. That's one of the reasons why there may be more of a netia to heter palter, because bread is so critical, and bread might present less of a chashash of chasnas. So halacha lamasa, we do not accept, even Ashkenazim, do not have a heter of pas. Maybe we'll talk later on. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, I believe, does float the idea... I don't think he's willing to rely on this lemaisa, but maybe as a one argument out of many, and maybe there's something even beyond palter, bizman hazeh, that we have large food companies, and there's absolutely, the baker is not baking for you personally, specifically, But he has direct contact with his 1,000 customers. People walk into the bakery, you say hello, you buy your bread. So that's more, Palter is a step removed from Pas Balabatim, but Rav Moshe Feinstein says, well, maybe we should consider whether a company is many steps removed. There's absolutely no contact whatsoever. Halacha l'maisa, we don't accept even that as anything more than perhaps a snif l'hakam by Bishol. So they come back. That's why the fact that the coffee is ground somewhere else, I never meet the coffee roaster. So that alone is not a reason l'hakal, but the fact that the ikar is water and water is nechal chai, that is a reason l'hakal.
Turning on the fire for both the Ashkenazim and Sephardim, does that apply in the case of like a personal goy's house or only for the?
No, turn on the fire could even be in a personal situation. Yeah, we'll get to it more. Mirtashem, when we get to Si'ifim Vav and on. Now, this panada or the empanada, you find different Rishonim based on whether Ashkenazim or Sephardim have different names. You see, the Ashkenazim are talking about pashtida or pastez, which sounds a lot like pasta. And panada, Rajba's language, Rajba's a Sephardi, that sounds, I think, a lot like empanadas, which I'm not exactly sure what they are, but they are some sort of, I think, Latin American food, I believe is some sort of like a burrito, some sort of burrito type food. We have, or a knish, depending on where in the world you come from, which is what the pashtida and empanadas are. What they are is some sort of filling wrapped in dough and baked all together. So I have, let's say, fish. I have fish, or I have meat, or something of that sort, wrapped in dough, and we baked it. So the Rajma Taras Abayis, so he says, this panada, this is a big problem. Tosis on our sugya, Lamed Chesam and Aleph, in Masechas Avarozar, does not jump from the Kasa Daharsana to the panada, but Tosis, and they tell you here, in the end, the Masar Sashas, at the end of Diyamasal Kamashma, says, well, take a look at Tosas and Chulun Samach Dal and Aleph, take a look at Tosas and Beitza Tezayim and Beis. When you look there, there's a much longer treatment than here in Tosas of the Sugya of Kasa Daharsna, and over there, and both Tosas and they get into this question of the Panada, the Pashtida. What are you doing yet? Again, it sounds like another example of a multi ingredient food. Gemara here is talking about the Kasa Daharsna is a multi-ingredient food. But all of a sudden, Rishonim starts saying, even though over here, Lamed Zayin and Lamed Ches and Avodah Zarah, we say we follow the Iker, which in Kasa Daharsna was a Chumrah. But by the Pashtida ought to be, or the Panada ought to be a Kula. Why? Because if you're going to follow the Iker, so the ikar is a dough, and this is going to make it into pas akum rather than bishal akum. And as such, those who have the kula pas palter will be Ashkenazim. Ought to be able to make it on the panada, on the pashtida. So the tosi took a little tosis and chulin samach davar alf. They point out that there are two issues going on. It's a two-step process. What's going on is that what? Number one is that we're not applying the notion of ikar, because even though we make a hamotzi on this food, or a mazonos as the case may be, and the dagim are a tafel, the dagim themselves still become a problem bishalakim. And then step two is not only that, but the dagim then go on to make you, that's what some Rishonim talk about, maybe even if I'm going to peel the dough off, okay, so I won't eat the fish, I'll just have the dough. Pas palter is mutter. No. Once the fish became treif, so they treif up, the flavor of the fish obviously is going to get absorbed into the dough. They're being cooked, baked together. They bake together, so the whole thing ends up being us. So that's the way we've shown him present it. And then you look in the Rajba, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes a second case from the Rajba, based on the tour. It's only in the Taurus Abayis HaKatzar, now the Taurus by Sa'aro, just to explain that bibliographical note for a moment, when you take a look at the Taurus Abayis, Rashi Taurus Abayis, so you see he wrote two versions of the Sefer. The long version, Taurus by Sa'aro, and the short version, which in the old prints appears in the margin, but both of these are written by the Rashba. The Taurus Abayis HaKatzar just gives you Piske Halacha. Here's a din, here's a din, here's a din, here's a din. The Torah's by Zaharach gives you the whole shock of Atariah. The Gemara says like this, and Rabbi Natan said this, and Rabbi said that, and back and forth, and here it gives you the whole Masumata. Sort of like the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. A couple of centuries later, Tarzabai's Aruch, Tarzabai's Akatsa, both written by the Rashba, one gives you the whole Sugya, the other one just gives you Psak Halach HaMaisa. Although even the Tarzabai's Aruch, unlike the Beis Yosef, Tarzabai's Aruch will always give you Psak Halach. We give you the whole Sugya, and here's how I Paschal. So usually the Tarzabai's Akatsa are just going to summarize what already appears in Tarzabai's Aruch, but every once in a while there'll be new points. Sometimes there's just a new nuance in the way in which he presents it, and sometimes actual new chunks. So here's a case we actually have a new chunk. In Tarzabai's Akatsar, he talks about two cases. Panada, there's Knish, and beef and broccoli. Talks about, he doesn't call it quite that, but that's how those who eat Chinese will recognize it such. You have the basar and the yarukas are being cooked together. That's obviously beef and broccoli. So the Rashba says, look, both of these are a problem for the same reason. Even if broccoli is probably not a bishalakim problem. Why? Because it's nachal chai. Often they'll serve, from a kashrus perspective, it's very labor intensive to check the broccoli, but sometimes at a crudite, they'll have broccoli, will be one of the raw vegetables you can take and dip. Broccoli is nachal chai, but basar is not. So the basar becomes aser, and then not only the basar become aser, but then it goes ahead and it assers the broccoli as well. And that's what appears in the Torah, that's what appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Sif Gimel. Panada shafa akum. Asura filim mishanoeg heter bepaschal akum. Says even Ashkenazim, who would be mekel, those who would be mekel and paspalter, that's what you mean by noeg heter paschal akum. Not that you got rid of the whole iser of pasakum. That is aser. It means those who are mekel and paspalter is not included in the Gezer Jabana Pasakum, still would not eat, even if you would eat the regular bread that the Nachri baker baked, but you would not eat his panada because the Shuman is Nesta Kishu Be'en, Mishum Bishuli Akum, and then it's Nivlu Pas. The fish becomes treif, and then it gets absorbed into the bread and makes the bread, the dough treif as well. And so too, he gives the second case, the case of Taras Habayas HaKatzar, Yirakos and Echalim Chayim, if I have vegetables that are edible raw, and therefore alone would not pose the Bishal Akim problem, but Bishlam and Basar, Asurim, if they Shashuman Shal Basar, Nevel Behem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Ramah does not disagree. So Rabbi Kiveger, right over here, gets very concerned. And the Chavos Das, his contemporary as well. Chavos Das, yeshiva guys know him as a Nesivos. If you learn Yeridei, you know him as a Chavos Das. But Yaakov Milisa wrote Nesivos on Choshen Mishpat, he wrote the Chavos Das in Yeridei. Both critical works, and you've come across in other contexts, Machlek is Rikiveger and the Chavos Das. Machlek is Rikiveger and Nesivos, the famous Machlek is about Masasek, right, the Lomdus of Masasek. Right? So here they seem to be, they both raise the same kasha. Kiveger's on the page, Chavos Das is in the back. Nivel is second from Kiveger in the Simen. He says, what do you mean? Look in Simen Kuf Yud Beis. Look in Simen Kuf Yud Beis. The end of Kuf Yud Beis, Sif Dalad, Sif Yud Dalad, they tell you that there's no issue of Tam Ke Iker by Pas Akum. I can't eat a piece of Pas Akum. But if the flavor of the pasak is absorbing something else, don't worry. Batel barov, no need for shishim. You don't have to be concerned about tam kicker. And then the Ramah says, "Sif yudalek kuf yudbeis vechein kol makom shenis arva pashal akum b'shar macho batel barov bein balach bein biyavish." Okay, it's true in general for pasakum. And then the Shach says, "It's not just pas; it's bishal akum as well." Bishul Akum as well. There's a Shach in Sivka and Chav Gimel. He quotes other Svarim written by the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, the Taras Chatas. He quotes Isser Veheter. It's true of Bishul Akum as well that I can't have the actual piece of the meat of the Bishul Akum. That's a problem. If it gave flavor to something else, it's mutter. So what's going on? But over here we said the Panada is a problem, and the Shach doesn't say boo. There is a Shach on the Sif. He doesn't raise it. He just talks about different fillings. Some fillings are Bishul Akim problem, some fillings are not Bishul Akim problem. Okay. If you already had the fillings already cooked by a Jew beforehand, and then the guy takes and wraps in dough, that's not a problem. But he agrees, if you have raw fish and you wrap it in dough, the Nachri bakes it, a problem. Why? Why? That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked. That's what the Chavos Das asks. We don't understand. It seems to be a stira. Seems to be a stira. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chavos Das both give the answer. If you read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, the case here is that more than just reading the Shulchan Aruch carefully, they say maybe the only reason why it's aser, at least for Ashkenazim, and follow the Shach, is when you have dough, I'm going to peel off the dough, but there's still going to be a layer of fish grease. There's still going to be chunks, little chunks of fish. The little chunks that stand in the row, and you see it, that's not batel. Batel is when it's mixed in. But here there'll still be, I'm going to take the broccoli out of the beef and broccoli, but there'll still be bits of meat clinging to the broccoli. And that's not batel. That's not bitaruvis. It's not blended. You can clearly pick out, you can clearly see what's beef and what's broccoli. It's iser nikar b'makomo. That's not a taruvis. So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chavos Das say. Chelkos B'Yom points out, very elegantly, he says, if you read the Vilna Gaon here slowly and carefully, you'll see that the Vilna Gaon seems to understand that even if there's nothing be'en, I just have dough, I wiped off the surface of the dough, but there's some fish taste got absorbed into the dough itself, it is a problem. So again, what we seem to have here is the machlokas Chavos Das from Akiva Eiger versus the Vilna Gaon. The machlokas in the 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, machlokas achronim, is there a problem of tam ke'ikar Rabbi Shlokim? The Chavos Das from Akiva Eiger say, the Shach said, no problem. And the Vilna Gaon says, it is a problem. It's a very, very subtle Vilna Gaon. Sivkai and Ches, very, very subtle. But he does say at the beginning, it's very clear. He says, Alpha Gav She'en Hashumim Bien. There's no fish grease left sitting by itself. It's only absorbed. At the beginning of Sivkai and Ches and the Vilna Gaon. Still a problem. So that's the Vilna Gaon against the Shach, the Chavos Das, and the Akiva Eiger. And then he gives us a little hint. He says, because now we're not following the first reason in Tosis, we're following the second reason in Tosis. What Tosis? Who Tosis? Not a Tosis here in Avodah Zarah. He's talking about the other Tosis. He's talking about the Tosis in Chulin, and what if you follow the paper trail, what you realize, which is what we tried to learn Halacha, you realize that what first appears as a Machlokas Achronim, Shach, Chavos Das, Akiva Eiger on the one side, versus Vilna Gaon on the other side, Shach, Chavos Das, Akiva Eiger say, no tam ke'ikar bishalakam. Vilna Gaon says, yes, there is. It's really goes back to two deis in Tosfos. That's really what the Vilna Gaon is touching on. Because when you go, you take it back, Tosfos and Chulin already asks, what's the difference between Sif Beis and Sif Gimel? Well, an anachronistic way of putting it. But what's the difference between the Kasada Harsana and the Panada, the Pashtida? How come Gemara says Kasada Harsana, you follow the Iker, and all of a sudden here, you don't follow the Iker. How come? Why? Again, that was our opening question here. How does the case of Panada get off the ground? If it's a Hamotzi, so the Iker is a dough. So why not say Kimcha Iker, and therefore it's Pas Palter is Mutter. So Tosfos raises that, and Tosfos says, no, the Pashtida is different than Kastarsa for two reasons. Number one, number two. Number one, and this is critical. Number one, Tosfos says, in Chulin Samach Dal, they say, Kasas Harsan is very nice, follow the Iker, even Lahakil, but the Pashtida is different because the Shamnunis is Bien. I have dough and I have fish. In other words, Tosfos' first answer, first Chiluk, is that the Din of Kasas Harsan only applies when the ingredients are blended. The Kasas Harsan is blended. It's not fish with breading, it's just fish sauce with flour, one mass of stuff. Or egg challah, one mass of stuff. The dough, all the ingredients are blended into one uniform, homogeneous mixture. Or coffee. I have the or hot chocolate. All the ingredients are blended into one homogeneous mixture, which is the beverage. So that's Tosfos' first chiluk. The din of kasaros only applies the din of following ikur, unlike by Hilchos Brachos, where I can have distinct chunks and still say, you know, I can have cheers of milk, cereal and milk, I'm going to say the cereal is the ikur, even though I can pick out the cereal and the milk, it doesn't matter. I don't need blending. I don't need a homogeneous mixture in order to say ikur and tafel by Hilchos Brachos. But Tosfos says, that's nice by Hilchos Brachos, but in the world of Bishul Akam, the din of Kasa Harsana, you need blending. That's number one, as opposed to the pashtita, the panada, where it's a sandwich. So you could see the dough and you could see the filling. So it's not the same thing. It's a calzone. And then Tosfos makes a second chiluk. Tosfos says, plus, Tosfos says, well, the filling already became aser. The filling already became aser. Why is that a second distinction between the kasa d'harsana and the calzone? I mean, the filling already became aser. You already told me the filling separate. That's what Vilengon points out. No, what Tosfos is saying is that's why the filling already became aser. Means now that we say they're distinct, separate items, we don't apply ikur and tafel if they're not blended. Tosfos is making a second point, which is mutl b'machlokes, which is, and what once the filling becomes aser, so it already became treif, and then it got blended into the dough itself. Tosfos in the second point is addressing the dough itself is a blend. But you're telling me, the filling and the dough, the two separate items, are not blended together. It's not like coffee, it's not like kasa d'harsana. Okay, but let's say I peel off the dough itself. So the dough itself is dough with a flavor of fish. So that's blended. And the dough is the ikur, not the fish. So, why don't I say that's Jachin Mutter? So to that, Tosfos answers a second point. And the Vilna Gaon says, that second point is relevant to the beef and broccoli. The second point is, well, sorry, the fish already became Bishul Akum before it got absorbed into the dough. In other words, Kasa d'harsana is where you bake it as a blend. Here you baked it separate, and then slowly the fish becomes treif as it bakes in the oven, and then it drips into the dough. In other words, the second point, while the first point in Tosfos is saying, when you apply Kasa d'harsana, when you don't, Kasa d'harsana, kimcha ikr, harsana ikr only applies by a blend, the second point that Tosfos is making is, if something already became Bishul Akam on its own and then gets absorbed somewhere else, that will be a problem. Once it becomes Bishul Akam, it'll stay Bishul Akam. In other words, Tosfos' second point is that we do say Tam Ke'ikr by Bishul Akam. So what seems to be emerging here is that the Shach, the Chavos Das, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, versus the Vilna Gaon, that Machlokas Achronim, over whether we apply Tam Ke'ikr to Bishul Akam or not, do we need, if you have a flavor of Bishul Akam in a different food, is that a problem or not? Or is the only problem with actually chunks? That's a distinction between the first approach in Tosfos, the first Teretz in Tosfos, and the second Teretz in Tosfos. And the truth of Tosfos and Beitza seems to be even more explicit about it, but they're talking about more or less the same two Teretzim, and they say, and this should determine whether you could peel off the dough and wipe it clean and eat it. That's mamish, the machlokas, achronim. It's already in Tosfos. It's already the 2 days in Tosfos in Chulin, the 2 days in Tosfos in Beitza. In other words, all the Baal Tosfos agree that the panada, you can't eat the panada. But the question is, how much of the panada can you not eat? Now, everyone agrees that the fish filling does not get a free pass. The fish filling does not, you can't just say, well, the dough is the ikur. Why? Because they're not blended together. Okay, so if they're not blended together, you have to down on each one separately. But then the question is, okay, so the fish becomes treif. But then do we worry about when, as it continues to bake, the now treif of fish, once it's no longer raw, once it gets cooked, or baked, it's Bishul Akam, as it continues to bake, the flavor of the now treif of baked fish begins to seep into the dough. So that seems to be 2 days in Tosfos. You definitely can't eat the fish filling, because that's it's not blended, therefore it stands on its own. Bishlakum. How about the dough? You can't eat the dough. But why? Because there's fish gook on it, or because there's this fish flavor absorbed into it? That point, machlokes rishonim, machlokes tachonim, is there an issue of tam kikar? And by the way, let's throw out, I've been talking a lot about this empanada, which may be a little hard to think about. Let's talk about another example of what we're talking about here. Again, the beef and broccoli is an example. Let's talk about pizza for a moment. So pizza is, plain pizza is not a bishlakim problem, because, well, the dough is pas, right? But if let's say, if you're Ashkenazi, you rely on pas palter, and it's being made in a pizzeria, it's not being made in someone's private kitchen, so that's pas palter. The toppings, so they're not blended into the dough, they stand on their own, but the sauce and the cheese, those are all nechalim chayim. So that's also not a bishlakim problem. So plain pizza is not a problem with bishlakim. You have to make sure the ingredients are kosher, but you don't have to worry about the fire. But let's say there are toppings. So it depends what the toppings are. The toppings are canned mushrooms, they're already cooked. But let's say the toppings are raw eggplants. Anyways, mushrooms we discussed are, nowadays people eat raw mushrooms. That's not a problem of bishlakim. But no one eats raw eggplant. So let's say they're putting eggplant topping on, and the raw eggplant is baking together with the pizza. So that's a great example of Sif Gimel. That's a modern panada. The eggplant does not blend. If you blended the eggplant into the dough, then you'll say, look, the ikar is the dough, not the eggplant. But here you have chunks of eggplant sitting on top of the pizza. So that's not blended. That's the first point in Tosfos. That chiluk that everyone accepts. So the eggplant itself will become treif. And then the question is, the eggplant is treif, how about if I pick off the eggplant pieces? So that's already a machlokas, explicitly a machlokas, Shach Havazdas Rebbe Akiva Eiger versus the Vilna Gaon. Does he have to remove all residue of the eggplant, or the whole pizza became treif because it invisibly absorbed eggplant flavor? Is there a tam keker problem or not? Again, that's some explicit machlokes acharonim, and it's already really the two Vilna Gaon pointing out essentially. It's the two deis in Tosfos. Subtly in Tosfos and Chulin, and even more explicitly in Tosfos in Beitza. Halacha lemaasa. It seems pretty clear. I think Poskim assume like the majority, certainly for Ashkenazim, the majority opinion among the Ashkenazi Achronim, the Shach, the Chavazdas, Riki Veger, against the Vilna Gaon, that Tam Ke'iker would not be a problem. But I should tell you, and we're going to wrap up with this point, but even though this is going to bridge us to next week's, the next Sif Dalet, this is really already far more explicitly a machlokas in the pages of the Taras Habayis, between the Taras Habayis and the Berak Habayis, between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. Berak Habayis were the Hasagos on the side of Taras Habayis, written by the Rashba's contemporary. They're both Talmidim and the Ramban, the Rashba and the Ra'ah, Menu Aaron and Levi. So they explicitly debate this very point. Is there a notion of Tam Ke'ikar by Bishul Akum or not? It's relevant not only to two foods being cooked together, where we're makel, it's also relevant, even more relevant, to, let's say, there was a bishalaka mess up in the kitchen, so maybe the food has to go in the garbage, do I have to kasher the kalim or not? That also should be driven by that. Ironically, that's going to be discussed in the last sif in our simen. We'll get to it, Mitzvah Shem. Sif tezayin. We're going to see, ironically, that we're more machmer by the kalim than by the food itself. Whereas by the food itself, I have the pizza that was baking together with the eggplant, so the majority of Ashkenazi Achronim, the Shach, Chavazdas, Kiveger, say, just scoop away all the residue of the eggplant, the rest of the pizza is fine, but if I grilled eggplant, I fried eggplant in a pan, the Nachri fried eggplant in the pan, we would say, throw out the eggplant, and you're going to have to kasher the pan. So we're going to have to see when we get to Sif Tezayin, we do split the psak somewhat. Moreover, I'll just leave this as a as a point to ponder for next time, the Rashbam there are already clear that this breaks up open a much larger issue. And it's relevant to the five or six different nafkaminas, or seven nafkaminas, and we're going to be seeing as the siman unfolds, what they're really arguing about. The Rashba, the Ra'a is very clear. The Rashba is clear. The Ra'a is very clear. The lumdus underlies this question of Tam Ke'ikr is one nafkamina in Mashiach Lachkar. Chazal said you can't eat Bishalakam because of Chasnos. So what type of Isra does that produce? Is it just something you shouldn't do because of a concern of Chasnos? But when Chasnos, or do they say, because the concern of Chasnos, we're making this into a tray for food? That's a explicit machlokas. The Rishonim are explicit about the lumdus. The Rashba and the Ra'ah are explicitly arguing about, Ra'ah says, it's all Mishum Chasnos. So, you know, if you give me a piece of grilled salmon, that's a socially significant food. That's something we could become friendly over. But we're not going to become friendly over the taste of salmon that got absorbed into the pan. We're not going to become friendly over the taste of salmon that got absorbed into the dough. He says, Tom Kicker, if you have a tray for food, you say Tom Kicker. Ra'ah says, this isn't a tray for food. Chazal said, don't do this mice of eating bishalakim because of the concern of chasas. And the Rashba says, no, you got it all wrong. It's true that the Tam HaTakana was chasnas. The Chazal wanted to create something to reduce the concern of chasnas. What they did is they created a new category of machal sasuros, midrabanan, called bishalakim, with all the accoutrements, with all the apparatus that usually applies to machal sasuros. So just like on level of daraisa, we say, oh, chazir is aser, tam chazir is a problem. Bas b'chalav is aser, tam bas b'chalav is a problem. So on level drabana, according to Rishonim, we say tam kikers deraisa. So on level drabana, we're going to say, if bishalakim is machal sasuris mi drabana, and says the Rashba, tam kikr. Okay, because the Rashba says, the tama, no pun intended, but the tama takana, the rationale for the takana, was chasnas, but the tsuris ha-takana, what they actually created was, they said, this is a chafetz machal sasuris mi drabana. While the Ra'ah says, no, the whole takana is kol kulo chasnas. And therefore, there are a host of situations where the Ra'ah is mekel and the Rashba is machmir. We just came across our first, and that is the question of Tom Kicker. And as we just saw, Ashkenazim mostly follow the Ra'ah by food, though by kelim, ironically, we are at least somewhat machmir. We'll get to the sif tezayin. The very next sif, sif dalid, about the question of Shvachos, one of the major issues driving that is Machokas Raj Barah. To what extent does a lack of a concern of Chasnas allow us to take liberties with and define down and narrow the scope of Bishalak? So we'll pick up Mitzvah next week with Sif Dalet, and maybe we'll have a chance right to move on to Sif Tezayin or to Sif Hay as well. Shkoyach Chevron.